welcome to this inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website, www.greaterlife.org.uk.
It's all right to me. Are we enjoying the English weather? We used to say as a church, and I was so convinced about it, we used to say typical English weather every time the sun came out. Of course, you're all going to say under your breath, well, that wasn't very often, was it? It's good to be with you. That's still going to be too loud, I think, Carrie, probably. And I want to take just a little bit of time today to talk. We've dedicated Christopher today. What a great event. And our life, you know, our church life is full of exciting events. If you were here just for the social side of it, yesterday we spent a different number of hours, you know, it must have been 8 or 10 different people, maybe more than that, spending time on a market stall that we arranged. We get in there early, and as the guys were saying, you know, we're hand massaging people for nothing, and they, you know, you can imagine, I'm not sure that I'd go for it, but you know, people are a bit apprehensive, but they actually really enjoyed it. We made a whole bunch of free badges. In fact, I met a gentleman that I did a funeral service for. He's an older guy, probably 70s, and one of his three children passed away, very sadly, in the last year, and I was part of what was a very large funeral service. And he came and said hello, and his grandson was there, and Billy, and he wanted some badges, so we helped make the badges, and they were all badges honouring their son that had passed away, and he made one for his nan and one for his grandpa, and It was just a unique kind of set of circumstances, and there's stuff going on all the time. Next week, as you know, we are in Staines. We're curtailing our service. It'll still be awesome, but it'll be because God is awesome, and church ought to be awesome. Get rid of the boring bits. Talk about something helpful. Yes? Make a difference. If God's not real, we might as well throw it all away and just talk about flower arranging. What do you think? If he is real, however, he's the most important person we ever have to deal with. And so that's how I want to encourage you today. I get the privilege of sharing just a little message. The message today is called, and the message is. And the message is, and in your welcome packs and on a number of the seats that are today, we produce a number of these little flyers. And they're pretty carefully thought about and carefully written. You don't have to read it now, but take it with you. This one's called, The News is Good. And it gives you a slightly different look at what we're going to talk about today, because for all the wonderful social stuff that we do, for all the great food we're going to have, and we've done something a little extra. I noticed some turquoise blue fan-like objects, and I thought, I'm sure that we didn't put those there. But the family, it's great. The family have got well involved, but every week we will put on good food, good coffee. We meet during the week, we talk together, we pray together, we have breakfast together. I'm sure some will be watching the football, though you need to make sure you record it and go to the Pages home afterwards. Yes? And enjoy their barbecue and their hospitality that they've very keenly put together. But for all that, you see, the church and the Christian world is not a social thing first. It's a spiritual thing first. It's all about God and people. And I want to show you this little vision here. When we talk about our vision, what's a vision? This is what we believe. This is what we see. A people who've experienced God's love and power so strongly that their lives are now devoted to Him. A people who are secure and confident in God and in themselves, and they recognize their value and their gifts. And a people who are lovingly and actively involved in bringing the message of God's love and power to everyone that they meet. That's kind of what we see. That's where we want to go. And these work much better when you switch them on. And I want to talk about this today in this little bit of time we have. The greatest purpose. I want to make a case this morning that the greatest purpose of the Christian life, the Christian person and the Christian church, is to get the good message from God out to people. William Booth is somebody that's well remembered, and Catherine, his wife, for starting the Salvation Army in a little 150 or so years ago. And he's now known, and the Salvation Army is now known as a very strong, humanitarian, caring for people that are in need, a group of people. But in the beginning, if you read it, you'll find that William Booth was talking exactly like I'm talking to you this morning. He actually had no time for good works and humanitarian care that were disconnected from the preaching of the gospel. He didn't want anything to do with that. His first devotion was to God, and his whole purpose in meeting people's needs on a physical and material level was that he could introduce them to the God who would meet every need, because there are certain needs people have that no physical or material thing can help. The greatest purpose of the Christian is to get the message out for God. I'm thinking of a couple of verses some of you will know if you're familiar with Bible verses. You know, some people will bring to mind Matthew 21. It says, Jesus says, the greatest commandment is to love God and to love people. And that's good. I'm happy with that. I agree with that. Matthew 28 says this, that you should, he says, Jesus says, now all authority has been given to me, so go and make disciples of all nations. You can't make disciples of anybody without speaking a message and knowing what you're speaking. It's not possible. And then you have Mark 16. These are very famous passages where Jesus says at the end of his life, he's about to be taken away. Last words, he says, go into all the world and proclaim this good news to every creature. The heartbeat of God, the center of the Christian church and the Christian life, is to make God's goodness known and get this message out. And the message is, are you ready? The message is, number one, God loves people. A lot of times if you were to ask somebody, what do you think the essence of the Christian message is? What do you think, if you run into Christians, what, and have a conversation about them, what are they going to bring up? A lot of times it isn't this. Or it is this in such a kind of gooey, meaningless way that it doesn't actually change anybody's life. God loves people is the heartbeat of the Christian message. We can have all the words, all the songs, all the impressive hundreds of people at events gathering around, putting on worship shows, releasing CDs, and doing all that, having very good speakers, having special dedications. We can do all that. And if there isn't genuine, heartfelt love at the core of it, then we're missing the point. And in terms of heavenly values, it doesn't have much. I'm a contender that we are here for a great purpose, that God loves people desperately, that everything in his heart is about how valuable you are. Look at John 3:16. It's a famous, maybe the most famous verse in the Bible. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. You're part of that. Maybe nobody's ever said it to you quite that way. I don't know. But I can tell you without apology that God greatly loves and dearly values and dearly prizes you. He knew you before you were born. He's the one that designed you. And he thinks you're fantastic. He sees all the potential in the world. He is not blinded by your shortcomings and mistakes, which we all have. But he overlooks all those things to look at what you can become. And it doesn't matter how early or late in your life it is, God is looking at you and thinking you are magnificent, you are wonderful. If you only knew the value that you had, if you only realized how precious you were to God, there is no greater message than that. And that's the heartbeat, that's the core of the gospel. God so loved. Why would he send Jesus? Because he loved people. He's up there in heaven, we're down there on earth. There's a great verse, you know, it's one of my favorites. Jesus is looking at a guy. It was the rich young ruler. Some of you might have heard of him. And the rich young ruler, he asked him some questions. He was hoping he would answer a certain way. He didn't quite. And then the Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him. If you were to close your eyes, why don't we close your eyes for a moment and imagine God, the one supreme attribute of God above everyone, everything else, will be that when he looks at you, he loves you. He's not really interested in your shortcomings. They don't bother him. He's taken care of all that. He has no guilt for you, no condemnation, no bringing up of mistakes, none of it. He's like a good father, but he's better by far than the best father. And today we're dedicating Christopher, and so some of us are parents and these guys are just on that exciting journey. But as a good father, when you raise your child, you're doing everything you can to maximize that child's life. And there are times when correction is needed. There are times when you've got to say that's the right thing to do and that's not the right thing to do. And you've got to parent them in a certain way. But if your obsession with them, if you look at your child and every time the child looks up, it sees condemnation, guilt, some other thing you didn't do, some mistake you made, would have done better at school if you just studied a bit harder. We should stop doing that to your sister. A lot of us have been raised like that. And then we have seen God that way. He's not like that at all. He is adoringly in love with people. Let me tell you a real quick couple of things that mean. I've mentioned that. Here's three things you need to know. He doesn't count your errors against you. You say, well, you've got errors. We've all got errors. Christians sometimes, I'm sorry to say it if you're a Christian, sometimes they're the worst. Sometimes they're not as nice because they have this expectation of living a certain standard, you know, and then they sometimes fall short of the standard, then they get irritated, and they get irritated with everyone else. God does not count your errors against you. In fact, the Bible says God's love, yes? He has faith, he has a lot of attributes, but he actually is love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, famous, you know, love is very patient, love is kind, love is famous passage. It says there that love does not take into account a wrong suffered. That's pretty high level, isn't it, for you married people? How are you doing on that scale? If you do that to me one more time, how many times have I said, don't move my stuff? How do I know these things? Exactly. Doesn't take into account. That's what God is like. He doesn't. Personally, he doesn't take into account wrong suffered. Here's one more thing that people think. They think God condemns people. There was a woman caught in the act of adultery. And in our world of varying morals and shifting morals, there's still a pretty decent kind of majority that probably think there's a little bit maybe something not the best with that. That was certainly the culture at the time. And apart from that point, there's a woman caught in adultery. I always remember adultery involving two people. Not quite sure what happened to the man in that situation, but anyway. And so these religious people come and they're going to condemn this woman. They're going to stone her to death because that was what the law was. Jesus came to bring something new and put the law in the past. Hello? Hello? Law doesn't apply to us. We don't need that. We need the love of God. And so he says to this woman, he says to them, whoever of you hasn't done anything wrong, you can throw the first stone. And one by one, they all go, woman caught in adultery, till there's none left. Jesus says, where are your accusers? Oh, they've gone. He says, neither do I accuse you, or in another version, neither do I condemn you. There's no sense of condemning people in God's heart. If we could get that right, I know what people think. I know what Christian people think. I've done this for a long time. And some of them are sitting here thinking, oh, this sounds all very positive. Or this sounds a little bit too good to be true. When are we going to get to the point Paul, when we have to talk about sin and people's sin and people's how disappointing they are to God, you're barking up the wrong tree. That is not how a good father treats his child. There are things you have to walk through at times, absolutely. But the tenor of any good parent is adoration and love and care. So strong that when it comes to a point of needing to correct, the relationship is so love-based that the child can hear the correction because we're not questioning whether we're loved or not. Whilst ever people are in a mode of questioning whether God loves them very much, the first and foremost thing they need to hear is how deeply God loves them until it overwhelms them, until their heart is changed. That's where human security comes from. That's what people are looking for. There's no condemnation in God's love. I love what Michael Curry, you remember him, Bishop Michael Curry? He was speaking at the royal wedding. And he made this statement, it's one of my favourites. Jesus started the most revolutionary movement in all of human history. A movement grounded in the unconditional love of God for the world. That's a great statement. I would want to put it this way. There is no New Testament Christianity talked about in the pages of the Bible other than a Christianity that is rooted and grounded in love. When we get that right, the other stuff follows. God loves people. Second thing, God's greatest passion is to be friends with people. God's more into, I'm into save the planet, I recycle, I'm actually pretty good. I do my best to look after things well. But I tell you what's most important of all, and by the way, whilst we're with parents, just do the best you can with your kids. Our speaking will be finished in about 5 or 10 minutes. And if they're playing, great. And if they're a little bit noisy and you need to step out, that's fine. We have room upstairs. Just want to let you know, that's fine. It won't bother me at all. So you just make yourself at home. And God's greatest passion is to be friends with people. His heart is to walk with people. You were made in His image. There's nothing else in all the planet like God except people. Whales are cool. I like them. Orangutans are good. All that stuff. I like birds a lot. I like kites. We had one fly just over near our house the other day. I really like those. There's lots of creative things that are wonderful, but there is nothing like people. Nothing that comes close. And God's heartbeat and passion is that He wants to be friends with every person on the planet. Listen to this. So it's out of the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:18. God has made all things new and He has reconciled us or made us friends again to Himself. Everything God was doing was always so He could be friends with us. Let me say that again. Everything that God's been doing is always so that He could be friends with us. When He says, this is a better way to live than this way, or don't do that, it's not because He disapproves of you. It's not because He's rejecting you. It's because He wants to be friends with you. And He wants to walk together with you. All the instructions of the Bible, you may never have heard this before. The instructions of the Bible, you know, people are very familiar with most of them, kind of moral standards. You know that they're not in place just because God felt like it that day. Do you know that all those things are in place so that your life works better? There isn't one commandment, there isn't one instruction, there isn't one thing that God issues and says, I want you to do this instead of this. Like, forgive your neighbour. Forgive those, you know, the Lord's Prayer. Forgive those that sin against you. We know that. We know that can be difficult, whatever. We can go down that route. But the point is that every one of those things that He said was for your better life. That's the motive. Every one of them. There's not anything in there that has that is not for your good, that is just frivolous. God's heart is much more for people than we have been told. And this is the message we've got to get out. He wants to make. And the third thing here, look at this. God has already made a way for friendship to happen. Look at this. He, Jesus Christ, gave His life to purchase freedom for everybody. This is the message God gave to the world at the right time. The message is that Jesus, when he died, you know that story? We're talking about the gospel, we're talking about, and the message is, he died on that cross. What did he do that for? He did that so that the way could be made for you to be a friend with God. That's the gospel. You don't have to pay any price. You don't have to go through any penance. You don't have to improve your game. You don't have to be nicer. That's the whole message. God loves you exactly the way you are. Anyone here who feels less than perfect, just lift your hand. Join me. We're all there. We're all there. And what you haven't been told is that God thinks you're beautiful, wonderful, and magnificent just exactly as you are. And he wants to be your friend, and he's made a way for that to happen. The only thing required of people is that they believe. That's what Jesus taught. Well, I have to go to church a certain time. You could go to church, you know, you could sit in the garage 365 days a year for 20 years and it would never make you a car. And you can go to church 365 days a week for 20 years. Not a week, you won't. 365 days a year for 20 years and it won't make you a Christian. It won't make you connected with God. There's a connection that happens. It's not just an intellectual ascension. It's a heart connection. Your heart reaches out. That's what believing is. The only things required is that people believe. It's to put your trust in God. Only believe, Jesus said. All things are possible to him or her who believes. Say that with me. All things are possible. See, our world just talks so negative. This can't be done, this can't be done. England certainly can't win the World Cup. This can't be done, that can't be done. I couldn't do that, I won't make that, I won't achieve that. Jesus is an awfully positive chap. Everything's possible if you, he puts it back on you, if you believe. What's believing? Believing is a decision of your heart. And in every step of believing, and I've been a believer for 40 years, and I've had my ups and downs in those 40 years, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you. But I've learnt one or two things, and one of them is this, that in every step of believing, there are rational ideas in your head that agree with the step, and there are rational ideas in your head that don't agree with the step. And what most people in the Western world have done is defaulted to their rational mind and never made any much step. And then we end up with a life, and but when I look at the Christian world, the vast majority of their energy is focused on things of little or no consequence. I don't mean to put people down, but you know, Jesus is coming back. Isn't that right? And you wrote a book about that recently, I heard. Yeah. And it's true. September it comes out. You need to see this man here and get a copy. Jesus is coming back. It was the complete assertion of the New Testament church. Loving God with all your heart and loving people as you love yourself. This is the heartbeat. And you know what? We're occupied. I can guarantee you, nearly every Christian in this country, no, I'm not putting people down, I'm just telling you, nearly every Christian in this country will be far more mentally focused on whether England wins today or not, spending a couple of hours on that, than they will spending a couple of hours praying that God would visit their life and their family and whatever. You'll be struggling to find many Christians in this entire country of 64 odd million people. And that's not to put people down. That's to say we have allowed ourselves to get preoccupied with stuff that doesn't really matter. What matters is God and people. People matter. I do funerals for people every week of my life. I did a funeral not long ago for a 23-year-old girl who took her own life 2 months short of graduating from university. And I cried as her father and her brother walked that coffin down the aisle. And they said some words and I said some words. And I do funerals for people. I did a funeral recently for someone well into their 90s. And it's amazing when you hear all these stories and you meet all these families every week. Every week. I've got another service on Monday, another one on Tuesday. I do services, and it's amazing when you realize that all that matters at the end of your life is, did you love? They don't care whether you're rich or poor. Selfish people might. Selfish kids that are squabbling about money because they couldn't be bothered working hard and earning themselves, but let's not go there. Whoop. Did I turn on a toe or two there? I had a lawyer friend. He used to say, if you want to ruin any family, just have a will. He was wise beyond his years. But the truth is, you see, that all that matters, really, is did you love? And the people around you feel loved. And God is love. The heartbeat of the Christian message is his love is available for you to plug in to your life. And believing is the thing that opens. And believing, like I said, parts of your head will agree and parts of your head won't agree. And that's going to be the way it is for the rest of your life. Because it's called a step of faith. And a step of faith always takes some kind of courage. If God were to spell everything out so plainly, it would require no faith at all. And everyone would do it. And that's just not how God is. There's something about God that says, you know, in your heart you probably know I'm there. You can probably hear me knocking. But I'm not going to prove it so obviously to you. I want you to choose me. That's what believing is. And that's all the people have to do. I'm going to close. We are to live, to tell, and to demonstrate that message. If you're a Christian here today, I'm cheering for England. You know, I want you to do well in your life. I want your kids to do well. I absolutely do. But I know the most important thing is here. God made all things new. We read it before. He made us friends again to himself. And then he gave us the ministry of making friends again of other people to God. If you're a Christian, you've got a ministry. You've got a calling. What is your calling? To make sure your kids get into the best schools? And then you get that job promotion and you get the latest iPhone and you get an upgraded car? Those things are all right. Now, they ain't going to make you happy. The greatest thing you can do with your life is bring the message of God's goodness to other people, to introduce, to connect people to God. That is our message. That is what a Christian is. We've been entrusted with a message. If you're the church today, let's tell the world and show the world. Let's step out of whatever we've been in before and make a new start and a new beginning and say, my God, I'm going to live for this God who died for me. Are you with me today? That's the Christian message. We're going to play a little bit of music. We're going to let you go in just 1 or 2 minutes. And I want you to close your eyes, if you would, please. And I want to give people an opportunity. There'll be some people here for sure not heard God's good message quite like that. I want to ask you an important question, a personal question. So I want your eyes closed to respect everybody else. If you've never personally responded to Jesus, put your faith, that's how I put it, put your faith in him, believed in him, made a choice, said, you know what? I'm going to do that. Something in my heart tells me that's right. That's how to decide. You know, the important things in your life are always decided like that. If you got married, you could have made rational arguments for that person and rational arguments against that person, but something in your heart, ultimately. And today, if I know God, I know that he will be speaking to people's hearts and there'll be something in your heart that says, you know, I need to do this. I need to make a connection with God. It's a very simple thing. And I'm going to meet with you after the service, pray a simple prayer with you. It's not high tech. It's not embarrassing. It's the most wonderful opportunity of your life. This God who made you, who loves you more than you can understand, is knocking at the door of your heart saying, could we be friends? I've been waiting for a long time to get this message through to you. I want you to know I'm not mad at you. I want you to know that I don't think of bad things. I want you to know I'm full of love for you. Would you open your heart to me? My question to you is, will you respond to that? If you're here today and you say, you know, I've never done that, I'm going to open my heart to God. I'm going to say yes. Then I'm going to ask you to do a very simple thing. That's why everyone's eyes are closed, because I respect your privacy. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to lift your hand, wave it at me so that I can see it. And then you can put it down again. And then we'll close the service. And then at the end of the service, I'll meet with all those people who decided today to put their trust in God and say, you know, that's a message I can believe in. I'm looking for what to do with my life. That makes sense to me. So whilst all these eyes are closed, if you're that person, and there'll be a number of people, I'm sure, now's your opportunity. You know in your heart, God is touching you, and that's a decision you want to make. Could you just lift your hand for me right now and wave at me so that I can see it? God bless you. That's wonderful. You can put your hand down. Who else is that? Says, yeah, that's me. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to open my heart to God. This is good news. This is your opportunity. Fantastic. Thank God. Amen. I'm just going to give you about 30 seconds. That'll be it. So, but this is important. You will know if God is touching your heart. Your heart will be racing and you'll feel like, man, I should really do this. Yeah, you should really. And you don't know if this opportunity will come your way again exactly like this. So quickly, before we close our services, that's you. Just shoot your hand up real quick so that I can see it. And then put it down again. God bless you guys. That's awesome. That's wonderful. Fantastic. Praise God. That's great. Let's stand. We're going to close our service here today. Thank you very much. Why are we standing? Well, I'm just letting you stretch. It's been great to meet you. For those of you that are visiting, thank you for coming along. Your kids have been wonderful. I'm most impressed. Been very special having the Christopher Page entourage with us this morning. Thank you for being so enthusiastic and participating. And for those people that responded, they lifted their hand, I'm going to meet you. I'm going to sit out the front here. I know that there are some people that feel like, you know, I didn't want to be embarrassed. If you want to pray with me, please don't hesitate. God is looking to be your friend. It's good news. I'm very, very glad to have met you. It's going to be a wonderful day. There's going to be coffee and tea and lots of exciting food over here. And then, so we normally allow about half an hour for people to hang out, have coffee with each other, and just, that's an important part of life. So may God bless you. Let me pray for you. Father, take care of these people. Father, thank you for the great message you've entrusted to us. And help us to hear your voice and to bring your message like we have never done before. This is the grandest hour of your church in all history. We thank you, God, touch our lives today. And if you believe it, say yes. Give someone a high five like that. Cool. Excellent. Great to have you. God bless you. See you again. Bye-bye.